You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. In the crush of headlines last week about the presidential election, you may have missed some news out of Lansing. The state Senate passed a pair of bills that could add up to a dramatic overhaul of Michigan's energy policy. Michigan Radio's Lansing Bureau Chief Rick Pluta is here now, and these are pretty complicated bills, Rick, and they've been simmering away in the Senate for 2 years, so it's kind of easy to lose track of just what's in them.
Yeah, there's a lot in them, and it's very technical. In fact, there are a lot of acronyms. If I fell into the jargon, you would probably think I was speaking a distant version of English or maybe even some foreign dialect.
Well, break the bills down for us in broad strokes.
Well, what's going on? This is the first overhaul of Michigan's energy policy, the first major overhaul since 2008 and the Granholm administration. And what we're looking at is the big utilities are shutting down coal-fired power plants for reasons that are both environmental, they're old and they're polluting, and also economical, that natural gas in particular is a much more cost-friendly way of generating power these days. But the utilities are saying we've got to replace these plants, but before we replace these plants, we need to have some certainty about what our customer base is going to be, because it's not like the old days where just utilities staked out a particular area and that was theirs, and they put their rates before the Michigan Public Service Commission and they got approval or they got rejected. Now there's competition, a small amount of competition, but competition is still there, and they're saying that that leads to some uncertainty. So that was one of the things that the lawmakers who were working on this in the House and the Senate were trying to grapple with. Another one is the future of Michigan's energy policy when it comes to renewable energy. That last overhaul in the last decade set a standard of 10%. 10% of Michigan's electricity is supposed to be generated using renewable resources. And so environmental groups and some others are coming in and saying, well, we're about at that point, and so we should expand on that because renewable energy is the energy of the future. And so what happened was the Senate adopted this package, sent it over to the House, and now that's being debated.
And so, first of all, back to how to ensure the certainty of the customer base. What does the bill do to accomplish that?
Well, the way that it works right now is that competitors can, in a region, poach as many as 10% of the customers from the utilities. And then if for some reason they can't provide the service at some point, then the customers go back to the utilities and they have to take them. The utilities are saying, well, that's not fair that you're asking us to invest millions, maybe even billions of dollars in building what are called these baseload power plants, which is just a industry jargon for very, very, very big, without guaranteeing us that we're going to have these customers. And so one of the things that's in this package is that these competitor suppliers, they're not utilities in their own right generally, have to show 3 years out where they're going to be getting their power from and how much it's going to cost. And what they're saying is, well, the problem is that doesn't let us take advantage of the marketplace, because what they do is they buy electricity on the spot market and then ship it from wherever to their customers. And they say that's where the cost savings come in.
So they feel it kind of handcuffs them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And so they say between that three-year lookout, some of the fees for exiting and things like that, that as a practical matter, they're placing limitations on what's called the choice market that don't exist today. And another argument that's being made about that is also on the choice market side of it. Proponents are saying, well, you know what? This is an energy policy that's looking out 10, 20, even 50 years in the future, but that doesn't account into the amazing changes that we might see in technology when it comes to delivering energy. So are we going to lock ourselves into an energy future that requires us to use, say, natural gas when we might see some dramatic improvements in solar or wind or something that we haven't thought of yet? And, you know, that brings it back around to the utilities, who are going, yeah, but we have to make an investment right now. And by the way, you're also relying on us to manage the grid, which is no small task.
There are a lot of movable pieces and players.
It can make your brain explode.
And then the renewable energy standard goes up by what?
The renewable energy standard in this package would go up to 15% by 2021. And the issue there is that some of the environmental groups say, yeah, but there are just too many off-ramps, too many excuses for not going there that are in it. And they'd like to see something that's a little bit more concrete in terms of setting this this standard. And let's not forget, in terms of that also, what counts as renewable energy? Like some people have said, well, we have a problem with abandoned tires. Can we call those renewable energy if we burn those to create electricity? And the governor is very big on making efficiency part of the standard as well, because energy that you don't use is energy that you don't have to pay for and energy that won't be causing pollution.
Rick, any concern from the solar panel proponents with these bills?
Yeah, one of the things that is happening right now is that people who generate electricity on their own, whether it's through wind or solar, that they can basically load that back onto the grid and get reimbursed for that. The utilities are saying that, well, you know what? You're putting that back on the grid, but you, unlike us, are not helping us maintain the grid. You're not helping paying the costs of keeping that grid. And so they want to charge those small, you know, personal generators a fee for that. And they're saying that the people who use solar panels and create their own wind energy are saying, well, you know, that just takes away one more economic incentive for us to do our small part to try and be a little more renewable.
I want to talk about the politics around this. I hear that utilities are pushing to get this done in lame duck.
Mm-hmm. And this is considered a very utility-friendly package.
Okay. And they're worried that free market Republicans like Gary Glenn, who's going to be taking over as chair of the House Energy Policy Committee, just might do something to push it toward a more open market.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, what we saw happen on the Senate vote is, in fact, just one Democrat voted against it. But there were seven Republicans who voted against it, basically over these objections about choice and the marketplace. And we seem to be having a similar debate shaping up on the House side with proponents of expanded choice, a more marketplace-oriented program, as opposed to the people who are saying, look, this is the Republicans. The Democrats are large on board, but the Republicans who are saying, look, this is one of those areas where government regulation actually makes sense because it's so integral to the economic well-being and safety of the public that relies on a reliable source of electricity.
Rick, what happens if these do not get through the House and onto the governor's desk before the end of lame duck? Is it back to square one or does it hold over to be considered in the new year?
These bills would die at the end of the session. However, a lot of the main players will be sticking around in the new session that no one knew is coming into the state Senate on it. And the key players in the House are sticking around, not the Energy Committee Chair, Eric Nesbitt, but some of the other players. And so, yeah, it goes back to negotiating it to try and come up with something that gets enough votes to clear the House and the Senate and that's acceptable to Governor Snyder.
Is there any sense at all of how a Trump administration might affect this legislation?
We don't know yet for sure. He's said that he's going to end the, quote, war on coal. However, in many respects in Michigan, coal has already lost that war.
Michigan Radio's Lansing Bureau Chief Rick Pluta. As always, Rick, thank you.
Always a pleasure, Cindy.